You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
This episode of Great Pets is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/greatpets. Over 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player.
This is the Great Pets Radio Show with professional dog trainer Brian Kilcommons and Dr. Jim McKiernan of the Great Bay Animal Hospital. The Great Pets Radio Show. Now, here's Brian and Dr. Jim.
Good morning and welcome to Great Pets. I'm Brian Kilcommons. Dr. Jim is on assignment. He's with the family in Florida. So much for assignment, but he deserves a break. And today, our guest is Dr. Lee Garrod from the Veterinary Emergency Critical Care and Cancer Center. It'll work sooner or later. Another cup of coffee. So we're going to be talking about pets today. And if you have questions about your pet's health or any behavior questions, you can give us a call at 1-888-441-9876. Welcome, Dr. Garrod.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to be back.
It's nice having you back. You do quite a job there with all the little attributes you have.
Yeah, so a little busy.
Well, your critical care credentials are unique, as your cancer credentials are, as far as the education that you've had. Why don't you tell people about this, how you differ from what's out there?
that's tough. I spent a lot of time in education. After becoming a doctor of veterinary medicine, actually in Canada.
Right.
I also took human ultrasound and established an ultrasound business in Canada. Then took a hiatus, so to speak, to come down to Tufts, and I did a residency in cardiology, and I did a residency in emergency and critical care medicine. I did two over 3 years.
Were you board certified?
I'm board certified in emergency and critical care medicine, yep, mm-hmm. And have the cancer treatment center and the critical care specialty center, where we've incorporated a bunch of, specialists so that we can manage all aspects of pets' diseases.
Now. What are some of the specialists you have on board?
We have an oncologist and a group of oncologists, a well-known group, New England Veterinary Oncology Group. I have a general practitioner specialist. We have a surgeon. We are soon to have a neurologist. We have an internal medicine person, so we're growing.
What don't you have?
We don't have an ophthalmologist yet.
Okay, but that's in the works.
Yeah, hopefully. Mm. Yeah, one thing at a time.
So, and your practice, you only do referrals, correct?
We do referrals, yes. The integrative medicine department, which is, we have a clinician who specializes in, is certified in acupuncture and soft tissue laser therapy, and she does some naturopathic stuff. Those can be self-referrals because those are mostly for chronic pain management and chronic diseases.
Okay. And chronic pain management, this is kind of new in the field after the last 5-10 years, where before it was like they can handle it. Now we're looking, I think the industry is looking at pain management a little bit differently.
Well, probably about a decade ago, there was much more attention paid to pain in animals and recognizing when a cat's, painful, when a dog's painful. It's much easier to tell when your dog's a little arthritic, and most people say, he just doesn't get around as well. Then, again, 10 years ago, we came up with all these non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. They're prescription aspirin type drugs, and companies were competing. This is the better one. This is less side effects. So we have a myriad of drugs to pick from. And then we added some other drugs that block the nerve sensation of sensing pain. Gabapentin, we have tramadol. And those have less side effects. Those are used not solely, but in conjunction with NSAIDs. But only in the last probably 4 years, 3 or 4 years, we're going away from giving a pill for everything. And we're looking to more natural techniques. Acupuncture, we found, in the last 5 years, animals benefit greatly from acupuncture. We have the class 4 laser. It's a deep tissue cold laser therapy that helps healing and actually reduces pain. It was used in humans, and it's used very extensively now, and we have that as well. And then just some naturopathic anti-inflammatories.
Well, my dog Wyatt, a German Shepherd, he's 8 now. Mm-hmm. He's really creaky. He has bad joints.
Yeah.
So we've done acupuncture with him a number of times, and it really does seem to make him more comfortable.
Yep. Yeah.
So would cold laser surgery work with that?
I'm sorry.
With the laser treatment that you were talking about?
Yeah, the laser, it's a wavelength that the treatments are about 2 minutes long, and it's every other day for six treatments, and you can continue it if they're better. We can do one treatment. It's good for tissue and wound healing, like if there's an incision or even an ear infection. And then it also stimulates natural endorphins for pain relief. So it uses your own body's hormones to control pain. And what it does as far as a laser, it's you don't feel it. It's not hot. It's a cold laser. That particular wavelength actually goes into the cell, the damaged cells, the mitochondria of the cells, and it fixes an enzyme called ATPase. So it repairs the enzyme to help the cells heal quicker. So the healing time of a wound, a sore joint, a swollen area is really, really increased in and shortened in duration from if you don't do that at all. And then, of course, the endorphins are...
Okay, I'm sitting here with my mouth open.
Yeah, it's amazing.
No, it is truly amazing.
Yeah, we had a burn cat, and we did divide the body in half so we were convinced that it actually worked, and we did... You know, part of the wound with the laser treatments. We did daily laser treatments on that one, and the other part with our natural triple antibiotic ointments and wound care only. And the granulation tissue and the healing was three times faster, and the cat was much more comfortable over the areas that we used the laser on. It was really amazing.
This is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, so
what are the most common things that you see at the emergency critical care?
Let me see. We had four quill dogs last night. Tis the season. It's now.
So you're 24 hours.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
So if you're running your dog late at night and he finds a porcupine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you tell people?
Come on in. Please don't bring the porcupine.
Yeah, that's pretty serious. Dogs don't realize.
And they can be repeat offenders. They don't learn. The first time, they really don't.
No, they'll go right back in on them.
Yeah.
Good place for a leave it command.
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
Stop.
So, does this happen during the day, the morning, or in
this
the evening?
This was, let me see, I got called in last night, 6 o'clock. Between 6 and 10, there were four.
6 and 10. Mm-hmm. Dusk. All right. If you have questions, we're with Dr. Lee Garrett from the Emergency Critical Care Clinic. Give us a call at 1-888-441-9876. You're with Great Pets. Dr. McKiernan is in Florida, so he'll be back in a couple of weeks. Give us a call.
Hey, boy, how you doing? What am I doing? I'm creating your own life book. It's a website that's just for you. Remember that picture I took of you pulling off Lisa's bathing suit? Yeah, I know, me too. I'm putting that awesome picture on your life book page. We'll see what comments we get. And that great video we took of you standing on the table with your head inside the turkey? That's definitely going on there. No, it's easy. It only took me 2 minutes to set up your page. I chose a great theme, and I can connect with millions of other pet parents. I can also create a memorial life book. No, not for Grandma, but we can make one for Fluffy, remember her? And we can even put links to our favorite pet charity. And friends can make donations. People can create their own life book for their pets by going to PetLifeRadio.LivingYearsPets.com. Or they can sign up on the Pet Life Radio homepage. Where's Lisa? She's outside by the pool. Hey, come back here. Create your own life book for your pet. PetLifeRadio.LivingYearsPets.com.
Aquariums and pond keeping are among the most popular of all hobbies in the United States and throughout the world. In fact, fish are probably the most numerous pet in people's homes and in their businesses. In Aquarium Mania, we'll learn more about the secret and not-so-secret life of fish and other inhabitants, the basics of good aquarium keeping, the complexities of the aquarium industry, and the science and art that surround this fascinating hobby. I'm your host, Roy Anong, and I'd like to thank you for joining us. Aquarium Mania.
Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Roger Adam, our producer, doing head bobs to this music. Glad you like it, Adam. Yeah, he picked it. He's proud of it. Anyway, this is really, really interesting as far as laser therapy and what you can do with it now. These are some of the disorders that respond to laser therapy, and especially if we have older pets and we want to make them more comfortable. Arthritis, hip dysplasia, numerous skin conditions, post-surgical pain relief and increased healing, ear infections, wound healing, degenerative joint disease, gingivitis, insect bites and stings, lacerations and abrasions, cystitis and burns,
yep,
and more.
Mm-hmm.
This is mind-boggling.
Yeah. We have a few cats that are our patients right now that have chronic bladder inflammation. It's not an infection. It's just, and they really, really have irritated bladders. And it's helping manage their pain because there's fewer drugs that are okay to give cats, that are safe to give cats to manage pain. We have a whole bunch for dogs, but less for cats. So we like it for that as well. This particular laser has the penetration where it can get as deep as a bladder in a large dog, and into the ear canal.
And let's go over how this works again, because it's mind-boggling.
Well, it's a red light that comes out. And like if I run it across my hand, I don't feel anything.
Mm.
Afterwards, you feel... I can't really describe how I feel. My hand feels relaxed. It feels nice. The pet doesn't feel heat. It's a cold laser, but it's that red light is a particular wavelength that actually targets, you know, a certain depth. Now, the machine, we pick certain things. We might pick hematoma. We might pick tissue inflammation. We'll pick joint. So it picks the depths to send the wavelength. But that particular wavelength is absorbed at the cell level and is what repairs an enzyme that may be broken. Okay, basically, you can say the enzyme is broken in damaged
cells. So this is impacting on a cellular level.
Cellular level, absolutely. Yeah. To fix an enzyme, it's necessary to have the cell heal and then have new cells come in.
How many veterinarians have lasers like this?
We're only one of two clinics in New Hampshire. I don't know of any in Maine. Don't know of any in Massachusetts.
Well,
we were talking
off air. I'm signing Wyatt up.
Yeah. For hip dysplasia? Yeah.
Elbow dysplasia.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can tell he's uncomfortable with this, not to have to give him medication on something that the body gets to regenerate and, you know, assist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. An injury.
Yep.
Is unbelievable.
Yeah.
This is terrific. So I'm talking with Dr. Lee Garrod from the Veterinary Emergency Critical Care and Cancer Center. And you have the main emergency clinic, and that's in Newington?
Newington. Mm-hmm.
Newington. The telephone number there is 431-3600. You should write that on your refrigerator or stop by and pick up a little magnetic thing for your refrigerator.
Or stop by, take a tour. We give tours if anyone wants to look around.
It's
nice to see where your pet might end up having to stay.
I've been in a lot of veterinary clinics. I love your place. You walk in, it's like a spa. You know, soft music in the background. I mean, it really changes the whole way of going into a medical facility.
Yeah, ever since I became a veterinarian, I always hated I disliked the sterile,
white walls, stainless steel,
cleanliness, and the cold, you know, metal tables for animals. I just think that something more homey and more personal and will relax the animals, and it definitely has proven to do that. We do have music playing, you know. So they don't really recognize it, a lot of animals, when we walk through the door as a vet clinic. So it releases anxiety of owners and pets when they step in.
Well, and especially the owners. Mm-hmm. I mean, because usually this is pretty tense stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, four dogs one day with porcupine quills, you may want to take the 431-3600 number down. So you know where the emergency clinic is.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we were talking off air a little bit. You know, it's spring, and now the wave of kittens and puppies start coming into the shelters.
Yeah.
Which is always a huge problem. Especially, I've been to Chico numerous times, and it's just overwhelming, the number of animals coming in.
Problem for the shelters, and especially with, you know, more and more animals, like the record number of animals that were already relinquished last year because of the economy. To have now not only increased numbers coming in, this is the time of year where the puppies and kittens will come in, but I think we're probably, again, because of the economy, a number of animals that didn't have their routine spays or neuters were routine for us for this problem. So now there's increased numbers because of that. Not only just the influx now, but more than ever.
Well, at the Veterinary Emergency Critical Care and Cancer Clinic, you see a lot of stuff, you know, after it's been referred. And people are looking to save money. You know,
right.
What do they need to do, you know, on a yearly basis with their pets to make sure that they're not going to incur more costs and their dogs aren't going to become, or cats, infected?
Well, first, you know, get your pet from a reputable source. As you and I were talking offline, yeah.
Okay, let's talk reputable sources.
Right. You want, if you go to a breeder, that's fine. That's not exactly saving money. That's going to cost you money. However, make sure your guarantee is pretty solid for medical issues.
We need to get into that a little bit more, because I don't think people really know what to look for or the questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're dealing with a reputable breeder, a couple of the things that I look for. They do 2, maybe 3 litters a year, max. They're in the house, and they're raised in the house.
Right.
All right. They can prove genetic, as far as disease, for genetic disease, as far as the testing.
Right. There's more and more tests out there, so you want to know what the parents were cleared
so
from.
So what should people look for when they're getting a purebred puppy?
Yeah, I mean, each breed has its standards. I think you should go online and go to the AKC breed. What does the breed standard require for the clearance for the parents? For example, a boxer should be an electrocardiogram and a cardiac ultrasound. The golden retrievers, they need their eyes, their hips, and their hearts cleared. So,
and thyroid?
You know, I don't know that that's overall accepted at this point. There are some things that you might not be able to get away from in an animal's lifetime period,
mm-hmm.
whether you look for it now or not. There are some breeds that now there's a cancer gene that you can look for.
What breeds?
Well, they're looking right now. They're working and coming very close to the Bernese Mountain Dog malignant histiocytosis gene. So that's on the forefront, and there are actually cancer gene panels out there. I haven't researched them. It's fairly new, and they haven't put out from this company. I think it's a bio. Something I can't remember. They haven't listed what ones that they actually have been able to.
All right, so I call a breeder up and I'm going, okay, I'm interested in a boxer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I want to have you checked for hips. Yes, we've checked for hips.
Mm-hmm.
Have you checked for eyes? Yeah, we've checked for eyes. Not a problem. Right. How do you get people to prove that?
They should have a certificate, and it should be they can file the clearance evaluations with the AKC. It's online.
Or what about the OFA?
Yes, the OFA. They're linked together. So if you go to AKC, it'll take you to the OFA, like the cardiac evaluations, the certifications that I do. It's through the OFA.
Okay.
And then they give that information.
So if you go to the AKC, mm-hmm. you can actually see if the tests were done and what the results of the tests
Correct.
Are.
Correct, right.
All right. And we're talking a little bit earlier, and we're going to be talking about this when we get back, adopting a pet. You know, and I'm going to go over some other breeder standards. But adopting a pet from the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Good idea, bad idea. We're going to be talking about that when we get back. Give us a call at 1-888-441-9876. You're with Great Pets Live.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step-by-step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, and welcome to The Family Pet on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Colleen Safford. Each week, we'll focus on different topics: child pet safety, child pet training, just how to make an appropriate pet selection for your family. All of these things will be covered in each one of our episodes. So we hope that you will join us at The Family Pet on Pet Life Radio.
Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're with Brian Kilcommon and Dr. Lee Garrod from the Veterinary Emergency Critical Care and Cancer Center. I think I'll be able to talk full sentences soon. Oh, man, I don't know what it is with the day. But we were talking about when you're buying a dog. Mm-hmm. If you're going to get a purebred dog, one, breeders 2 to 3 litters a year. They can prove that they've done genetic testing on the dog.
Yep.
And three, they give you a contract that states, if you cannot keep the dog at any time for any reason, you must return it to me. And the good breeders will always take their dogs back.
Right, because they're proud of their dogs and they've cultivated really.
Right.
You know,
and if they're not willing to do that, you know, get somebody else.
Right.
The other thing is the shelters do the same thing. If you cannot keep the dog after adoption, you can bring it back. And that's one of the things you want to look for with anybody from getting an animal. But we were talking earlier about internet pets. What's your opinion?
Right. So say you don't go to a breeder. You go to, there's a number of internet sites where you can rescue a dog. Most of these dogs, I guess the majority, are from down south, dogs that are left homeless. The shelters down south are overwhelmed. They aren't no-kill shelters in the majority of cases. So you want to be careful. What tests have they done? When did they vaccinate the animal before they shipped it? Because one shot of a parvo vaccine and then shipping it a couple days later is not going to prevent outbreak of parvovirus.
They don't wait for it to kick in.
Right, right. Let's
hold on to that thought. And
sure.
We have Sandra. Hey, Sandra, welcome to Great Pets.
Thank you. I was listening to you on my way down in the car, and you were talking about cancer and kitties, and this is a subject very close to me. It was, I will say, 6 or 7 years ago that one of our favorite pets, a kitty, a tuxedo kitty, developed cancer. It was a big lump that grew in his leg down where the bottom of his foot bends and comes up toward the knee, right in that fold of his leg. And I took him to the vet and was told it was the kind of cancer that comes back in the same place. They could remove it. They would probably get him, you know, 2, 3, they don't know how long it would be before it would come back, but they would buy him, you know, time. So we did the surgery, and he was good for about 1.5 to 2 years, and then it came back. So I took him in again, and they had to ultimately remove the leg, but we were told once that was done, the kitty would be fine, and cats can live fine with 3 legs. And did I want to call? They had somebody else. They had amputated a leg, and I could call the owners and all of that.
Sandra, so were these your regular vets or cancer specialists?
No, this was a regular vet. A regular vet. However, they did send the tumor off to pathology. I'm not sure where. I want to say the University of New Hampshire, but I'm not sure. But they did say, you know, when it came back again, the best thing would be to remove the leg. Well, I'm trying to make this short. Probably after the leg was removed, it was probably less than a year later, he developed cancer on the roof of his mouth, on the end of a paw. We did take the toe off because that came first, and then the roof of his mouth. They sent the pathology out again, and this time we're told the pathology was wrong. It is the kind that will recur and it will go to other places. So had I known that to begin with, we would have had the cat put to sleep, which would have been the humane thing to do. Thinking we could buy him time, you know, we kept him alive. Has pathology improved? This is what really upset us, you know, not to mention the money. That's okay. The cat. We would have saved the cat a lot of pain.
Sandra, I'm sorry you had to go through this, but I think there are a couple of items here. You know, if you go to your regular doctor and he goes, you have melanoma, you're immediately bumped to a board-certified cancer specialist. And I think this is one of the real saving graces with Dr. Garrod being in New Hampshire, where that is...
Now,
that,
yeah, she wasn't here 6 years ago, though, right?
Were you here 6 years ago?
Not doing what I'm doing.
Okay.
I was traveling with a group of specialists.
Now, do they do pathology? This is what was wrong with the pathology. That's my question. Has that study improved, pathology?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, it sounds like, I'm going to go out on a limb here and then say that the hind leg, they were speculating that it was what's called a fibrosarcoma. And that sounds to me exactly what your vet told you is the correct verbiage for what I would tell a client who had that you can remove the mass, it will likely come back. If it comes back, you can remove the leg, or the first chance you can amputate, which, you know, some people don't like the thought, but cats, as you probably found with your cat, they do get around, you know, very well. They adjust extremely well. Then the fact that it came back on the roof of the mouth and the toe really puts it out of the league of not a fibrosarcoma, something else. I'm not sure whether it was chondrosarcoma or osteosarcoma or even a squamous cell carcinoma. All cancers from the cell they originate have different behavior patterns. When we send out a tissue sample and we may get the pathologist back and they get a diagnosis, we ask for special stains to confirm it or ask for a second opinion. That's pretty much standard for what we do, and we do a MET check. Then we can prepare the owners what to expect for the tumor behavior. And if that wasn't done, it's not uncommon. I don't think it's done in a lot of cases, unless you're a specialist.
And I suspect it wasn't done. Right. Okay, but now I'm empowered. You've told me you would ask for a second opinion.
We ask for a second opinion, or we ask for special stains. We go a little further and ask for what's called a mitotic index to get an idea of stage of cancer. So we go further and not just identify the cancer. We try to stage it so we can better tell the owners more accurate statistics on what to expect.
Okay.
That's
encouraging.
Yeah.
I'm hoping this helps somebody else, because obviously our cat is gone, but it was very, you know, to say the least, it was...
It's traumatic,
very traumatic for the owners.
Sorry. I'm sorry for your loss. I am glad that you got a good 2 years. I think that's actually a very, very good success rate for removing a tumor. So,
well, you make me feel better.
Yeah.
Well, and his brother lived to be 22, so you can see they were cared for well.
Well, that's
how
amazing.
Many cats live to be 22?
Yeah.
Thank you.
The blessing here, Sandra, is that there is Dr. Garrett, who's in Newington, with a cancer center. So if you know of other people that are encountering it, you now have the people to go to. And also
a resource.
Right, and most vets, and now I don't think it was available at that time, do refer Dr.
Right.
Garrett.
Correct.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, Sandra.
So, that's always a tough go. I mean, I lost my guy.
Well, you know, dealing with pets that have cancer, a lot of cancers we can't cure. Some we can, some especially that are surgical, we can cure. But for 50% of cancers, we shoot for remission and improve quality of life. And you end up with a pet living with cancer. And it's okay to have a pet living with cancer as long as their quality of life
is
decent. But that's an owner's subjective opinion. You know, they have to look at their pet and decide that their pet is looking at them and saying, I'm okay.
Years ago, I had a Rottweiler, who was the love of my life, and he had lymphosarcoma. And I went into the animal medical center, and they said, you can put him on chemo. It may give him 6 more months of life. But at that point, this was years ago, it wasn't as sophisticated as it is now. The chemo was pretty drastic. And I've decided not to do it. So I took literally a month off to spend with the dog. And when I felt his quality of life was really going down quickly, I held him in my arms and said goodbye. But it was devastating. Now, there seems to be a lot of other approaches and treatments, as you were saying, where the quality of life can be maintained for a relatively long period of time.
Yep. So. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, then it's up to the owner and the pet to decide when they feel that.
Well, it's funny because the vet that I was seeing at that time said, you know what, you shouldn't have done that, which was really crushing because it was a very hard decision for me to make. But I was brought in on a dog, a bull mastiff, that's very similar to the Rottweiler in body type, that they did the treatment with. And again, this is years ago, and we discussed this earlier, the treatments as far as the chemo aren't nearly as caustic as they were then,
right,
as far as the side
newer
effects.
Drugs, yeah. Fewer
and
drugs.
This dog was in absolute agony. You know, I looked at him and I said, you know, I remember when you said that to me. And I did the right thing after looking at this dog. Yeah. But now things have progressed so much that the treatments are a lot more mundane.
The treatments we offer are a lot less toxic. A lot better tolerated. We've scaled back on some of the drugs, some of the doses, as we know more about cancers and spread out the treatments. We have radiation therapy, which fine tunes on certain cancers. Now, I will say, for example, I can think of one in the last 2 weeks, a dog that has systemic cancer, malignant histiocytosis. And we started chemotherapy, the owners had just rescued this dog 4 months ago. And unfortunately, it's riddled with cancer. It was a stage 5 out of 5, which means it's virtually in every organ from the lungs to the abdominal cavity. They wanted to try chemotherapy. The dog is bright and alert and eating, and this is not a painful cancer, so we're fine with that. We started the treatment, but the problem is the dog didn't respond at all. And then when he went for a couple days where he didn't want to eat all his food, you know, then the owners rationally made a decision that, you know, this is cancer, this is terminal, and if the chemotherapy is not going to actually induce remission, which it appears it was probably too far advanced, and we found that it just wasn't going to be enough, it was not worth making him sicker by higher doses of drugs, you know, to cure a cancer that's making him sick. So the owners elected humane euthanasia, which is a very, very reasonable decision. So you really have to look at every patient individually.
It always brings up, you know, if you love something or someone, you always do what's best for them.
That's right.
And in this situation, it's always heart-rending. Mm-hmm. I mean, I call it involuntary heart surgery.
Yeah.
Making that decision. Sure. But on another note, we were talking about internet pets.
Yes, right.
All right. And there are a couple of things that people need to consider on a behavior level. I want to get a look at what is going to be living with my family.
Right. Well, first of all, yes, it's their sight unseen. They're cute pictures on the internet. My second problem is who they're coming from, what they tell you as far as what diseases they've either had or they test for is a big question mark. And then the immunizations that they undergo, of course, under the assumption that as they were rescued from down south, they didn't have any, and then they're shipped. We know in all species of animals, from cows to dogs, shipping an animal induces stress, which reduces the immune system's response, and disease breaks out. Extremely common, not to mention they're shipped up with other dogs that probably have something. So within 4 to 7 days, very commonly, you know, the majority of these dogs will get sick. There are some, you know, lucky cases, but we've seen, as I was telling you before the show, there's some rumors going around between some people who rescue dogs that there's a new parvovirus, because there's a lot of parvovirus outbreaks in dogs that have been shipped up lately. We've had 6 so far in the last month. The problem is it's not a new parvovirus. It's that they've not had the vaccine before. These people are under the impression that they've had a vaccine before being shipped up, and that's why they broke out with parvo, because it's not the same parvovirus. It's a new strain. It's not. Immune system, yep. Lack of response to the vaccine. Inappropriate boosters. They haven't had the second booster 3 to 4 weeks apart, and they've been shipped before the vaccine has even had time to touch the immune system.
So we can call the shoot and ship.
Right.
They shoot them with the vaccine.
Right.
They don't give it enough time for it really to kick in.
Right.
The dog is then stressed, and it comes up with parvo, and people are going, he was vaccinated, why is he getting parvo?
Right. They're told from down south, oh, it's a new parvo strain, probably, you know, resistant. That's just not true.
It's not true. And it's one of the questions to ask. And let's look at some of the stuff that people should be asking if they are getting a dog off or cat off the internet. What should they ask as far as inoculations and health checks?
Right.
So we'll be back. Give us a call at 1-888-441-9876. You're with Great Pets Live.
Hey, love to read, but just never seem to have enough time to sit in one place long enough? For all of us on-the-go people, Audible has the answer. Best-selling audiobooks for your iPod or MP3 player. For Pet Life Radio listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. Choose from hundreds of today's bestsellers, including awesome pet books such as Bad Dogs Have More Fun by Marley and the author John Grogan, Love That Cat by Ingrid Newkirk, It's Okay to Miss the Bed on the First Jump, and Other Life Lessons I Learned from Dogs by Seinfeld's John O'Hurley, and many, many more. To download your free audiobook today, go to audiblepodcast.com/greatpets. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/greatpets for your free audiobook.
Hello! I'm Deborah Wolf, and I'm inviting you to my animal party on Pet Life Radio. The dress code? Come as you are. Pajamas, a tux, you can even go naked like your pets. Unleash your party animal at my animal party. Guests you know from Animal Planet, TV, radio, the news, and bookstores will be joining me. And that's because after I won Best Pet Radio in America from the DWAA, I got my paw on the door and I met a lot of amazing people. And the best of the best are going to be coming to the party. They're coming to party with us. So join us at the animal party.
Don't miss the party.
Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're with Great Pets. I'm with Dr. Lee Garrod from the Veterinary Emergency Critical Care and Cancer Center in Newington. And you should write this number down, 431-3600. If you do run into an emergency, you need to know where your nearest clinic is. And also, it is the only cancer clinic in the state of New Hampshire. So if you do run into a problem, you know where to go to get take your pet. We're talking about, we're bringing a lot of dogs up from the south, or people are going on the internet. What are some questions people should ask when they're saying, you know, we got Fluffy, it's adorable, we want to ship him up to you? What do people need to know?
Well, I don't know that telling people what to ask is going to translate to them getting the actual right answers. I think when it's an internet, if you can find a group that is reputable, that somehow will tell you, this is what we do for animals. We test them for Giardia. We test them. I don't think you'll find that. It costs a lot of money to test for Giardia, to test for Coccidia. They might give them some Strongid that's pretty inexpensive to deworm that will cover roundworms and hookworms. But one dose doesn't cut it. It should be one dose every 3 weeks for three or four treatments. I don't believe there was even a rescue shelter in New York that they do not heartworm test the dogs. And I had a client in January, very, very heartbroken. It was an American Eskimo dog, beautiful dog, and had significant heartworm infection.
Which is a big deal.
Huge.
Yeah, and especially down south, a lot of these dogs are not given heartworm preventative.
Right.
So not checking that,
right,
you could really wind up adopting an expensive medical procedure,
right,
after you get the dog and you fall in love with the dog or cat.
Right. Now, I have two clients, actually, come to think of it. They are very much into rescuing the dogs from down south, and that's fine. You know, these animals need homes. They go down there, though. Take them to a local vet there and have them tested for others before they decide who they're going to bring back. So they don't allow them to get on these shipping trucks to come up to the shelter or to be shipped up.
Right. So the dog isn't stressed.
Minimally stressed.
Well, the thing is,
it's in a shelter.
If it's in a shelter, but an outside vet does the heartworm test.
Yeah, they know what they're dealing with, get it healthy before they bring it back.
Right, so they don't ship it up going, okay, it's a problem, and then what do we do
right.
with it?
And other than a heartwormer that was discovered by the time it got up here on one, which turned out to be a little leak in the valve, the mitral valve, that was no big deal. They've done very well and have had, you know, some pretty healthy specimens.
When we were talking off air, we were talking about we've really been able to bring distemper under control.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's a very sad case this week. So a puppy was shipped up, of course, and within 4 days, incubation period for parvovirus is 4 to 10 days. So,
all right. And parvovirus is an intestinal virus where it's
vomiting and diarrhea.
Massive.
Yes, they can actually lose linings of their intestine.
Okay.
And this is what, you know, how sick they can get. But this dog had something else. The shelters in the Northeast have been very good at, we can't claim eradicating distemper, which is a neurologic and upper respiratory virus. But we just don't see distemper up here. They're very good at vaccinating and preventative maintenance. And we have some, you know, very clean shelters up here. So we haven't seen it. Well, unfortunately, by bringing some of these dogs up from down south, where the conditions may not be ideal and they aren't testing and aren't vaccinating, we're now introducing diseases that we haven't seen in a long time. And this is the first case of distemper. This dog has distemper. I'm going to say had, unfortunately. Had distemper. It's the first case I've seen in probably 8 years. The last time I saw it was two dogs imported from Ireland. Two purebred dogs imported from Ireland, believe it or not.
Really?
Yep, both came and had distemper. So, but I don't know what their vaccine protocol is over there. However, I worry about, you know, our own home front here. So now we're bringing up some of these dogs, and if we're going to be bringing up diseases that we've pretty much kept under control for so long, it's just going to be devastating. Devastating to the shelters up here. Devastating to all pets.
So what would you suggest?
I think knowing what their hold time is for animals, their vaccination protocols, what diseases do they test for. is it possible? I don't do this internet adoption. So is it possible to ask them, can you test for this and show me the veterinary records on? Can you expedite having them take the pet of their choice to a vet to have it tested for Giardia, Coccidia, all these diseases that will suppress the immune system?
But I think the human factor comes into this also. You know, when you're dealing with a shelter, and especially, you know, I'm not crazy about this whole no-kill term because I don't think it's true. It's we don't. You know, we let other people do it. We still have an overpopulation of animals, and we need more spaying and neutering. But if a shelter has a dog, and they want to get it out, at least give it a chance. So they may not do the medical tests. It may not be temperamentally sound. And once it's shipped and you have it, it becomes your problem. So doing your homework here, or going to your local shelter.
Yeah.
You know, the New Hampshire SPCA, Cochico Valley. I mean, there are other shelters in the area that you can go to get a nice pet. So going on the internet, and I just had a client, he bought a dog that he never should have had.
Yeah.
A good breeder would have told this guy, no, you're not getting this dog. It's a large guard breed.
Yeah.
And he bought it on the internet. $2,000. They shipped it across country. And he had the dog. They had no idea what they're doing with it. The dog is now a menace. I mean, there's no question. I told them not to keep it because it is a dangerous dog. But this is the difference with shelters and breeders. Sometimes they will really tell people this is not a good selection for you.
Right. I know a lot of the shelters are very good at trying to match owners with a dog, a proper dog.
Yeah. Well, we have Karen from Cochico on the line. And let's get her on the line, Adam. Karen, darling.
Hello.
The queen of Cochico Valley.
Yes.
So, you know Dr. Garrett, correct?
Yes, I do.
Yes. So, you're bringing a lot of dogs from down south. What are your protocols?
We do follow the protocols in place by the New England Federation, which, and New Hampshire state law as far as health certificates go, with nothing under 8 weeks, rabies vaccinated if they're old enough for it. We're pretty strict, actually, so it seems to be doing us good.
Okay, what about heartworm? Are they tested before they come up, or do you test them after they come up?
Both, actually. They're tested before they come, and we retest them when they get here. What we found, unfortunately, is some, you know, 30 days ago were negative that are positive when they get here, so we just double-check.
Okay. And Dr. Garrett was talking about a case of distemper. Have you seen any of that?
No, God, no. We haven't seen that. I've never seen it, actually.
See, I like her response. God, no. So you know what I mean. We haven't seen it in a long time. Heaven forbid.
Hey, Karen, we're just going to break. Could you hold on? We want to see what's up for adoption this week.
Yeah.
All right, love. We'll be back to you. You're with Great Pets Live. Give us a call. 1-888-441-9876.
Passengers, please fasten your seatbelts, put your seat bags and sleeping pets in their full upright position, and prepare for takeoff.
Pet Life Radio presents Travel Tales, the show where you'll get great travel ideas on perfect places for you and your pet. From Paris to paradise, south of the border to the South Seas, Travel Tales will give you cool tips on fun vacation destinations to travel with your pet, pet-friendly hotels, and advice on how to travel safely and happily with your furry best friends. So, get ready to pack the bags and the bones with your Travel Tales hosts, Susan Sims and Nicholas Veslowski, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey, Karen, it's Cochico Valley Humane Society. Karen, do you test for Giardia?
We do if they're symptomatic for it, but we generally just do basic fecals. Giardia, if they have diarrhea, we'll test for it.
Okay.
Good for you. Good for you, though.
And who's up to bat for adoption here?
We have a little bit of a different one today. Her name is Tilly. She's a three-month-old purebred yellow lab, and we're asking for help for her. She needs to have her kidney taken out before she can go home.
Ooh.
Oh, we'll do it.
Oh.
why don't you just call me?
All right. Okay. She has a ectopic ureter, so she's
leaking. I ultrasounded her.
Yes. Yeah. You met her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's so she needs that before she can go home, but she's fantastic. I mean, you met her. She's great.
People don't know what that is. I ultrasounded this dog for you took her to Great Bay, and they brought her over for me. And her ureter on her right kidney doesn't go into the bladder. It goes into the vaginal canal, so it bypasses so she can stand up and she can walk along and constantly is leaking urine. But the problem is the kidney gets infected. It sends up to the...
Okay.
Yeah, no, we could do that.
Oh, are you glad you called, Karen?
I am.
Hey.
Call me on Tuesday, okay?
Fantastic.
Don't we love Dr. Garrett?
She's great.
All righty, love. Let's see what's going to happen. Also, I'm following up with Blue, who Mike took.
Yes.
Who's coming around really nicely. He's turning into a different dog. He's a wonderful pit bull mix, and it really shows how great these dogs can be. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon, love.
Call me Tuesday, okay?
I will.
Okay.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
We have Dan on the line. Hey, Dan. Welcome to Great Pets.
Yes. How are you today?
Good. We're a little bit short on time, so let's make it quick.
All right. I have a 10-year-old golden retriever that we had to euthanize a couple of days ago.
I'm sorry.
And, it was like big emotion. I've listened to your program. This is the first time I've listened to your program, and I compliment you very much on the program. One is the emotional connection is just big time, but we've always had pets, but I'd like to ask Dr. Garrick one question. Our golden had rear quarter hip problems, developing a little worse and worse, and we have hardwood floors, so we put scatter rugs down so he could walk a little better because he was weak on his rear quarter. But then there was a lump down his on his top rear left side, but not onto the spine, and we took him to the vets, and it was okay. It didn't seem to bother him. He was not in pain. And then about last week sometime, he started to really have no strength in his rear quarter, and we contributed to that, and so, okay, he must have strained himself. So we babied him a little bit, and then finally he was wimping through the night, and that's not normal. And so
all right, Dan, what's your question? I don't mean to cut you short, but I don't want to cut you off. We're running out of time.
Okay, the question is, within a period of 3 days, it went from his rear quarter to his total shoulders back lifeless. And so we took him to the vets in a stretcher, and he looked at it, and he said the tumor must have got into his spinal area. Took x-rays. It didn't show that. And finally, the one more night, it was just... too painful for us to see his discomfort, and so
Dan, I'm sorry for that. You know, it sounds like you did the right thing. Hemangiosarcoma comes to mind, and it certainly can met, which means spread to the spinal cord.
I'm sorry for your loss, though.
We're really sorry for your loss. The only thing that saves some of this is remembering the fun times. Instead of remembering the pain, remember what a great dog he was, what he brought to your life, and how much he really improved your life. And he was lucky to have you. You did the right thing. Thanks for calling, Dan. And sorry for your loss.
I have one other question.
We're out of time, Dan. I'm sorry. I'd love to take
it.
Call next week.
All right, thanks.
All righty, thanks. Have a great week.
Bye, Dan.
Thanks for listening to Great Pets Live. We'll be back next week. We're a doctor.
You've been listening to the Great Pets Radio Show. Join Brian and Dr. Jim next Sunday for more informative pet talk.
Let's talk pets every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.